Welcome to season four of the Raise Your Game Show, a podcast that unpacks and dissects the strategies and principles of high performance in sports and business. I'm your host, Alan Stein Jr.
Let's do it.
In this season, I unpack the key stories and lessons from my book, Raise Your Game. High performance secrets from the best of the best. If you've already read or listened to my book, please enjoy the reinforcement and reminders. Remember, repetition is not punishment. If this is all new to you, I hope you find this content helpful. You can order the full audiobook at audible.com or wherever audiobooks are sold. You can also order the paperback or hard copy version for you or your entire team or organization at raiseyourgamebook.com. Before I dive in, I wanted to announce that Your Game Plan, Student Athlete Edition, is coming soon. This online course was strategically designed by me to help middle school, high school, and college athletes improve their leadership, communication, and habits, as well as become the best version of themselves on and off the court or field. Here are a few samples of the lessons taught. But, you know, hopefully the coach has articulated with some clarity kind of the vision of the culture and the standards and the expectations and what they're hoping to accomplish for everybody. But then I think it's the student athlete needs to take it upon themselves to go in and sit down and say, what is my role? How do you see my puzzle piece fitting in amongst everybody else? And let the coach, again, say with great clarity, your strengths and weaknesses, how they see the season unfolding and what your role will be. And this is what's most important for a student athlete, to simply sit back and listen and take all of the information in. Things that will certainly help you in your sport, but things that will help you in the classroom, things that will help you in your family situation and in your community and relationships with friends, things that you know will help you whenever you stop playing the sport, you know, whether that's after high school or after college or maybe for a select few after you play professionally. But what types of skill sets give you the most bang for your buck in everything that you do? And the ones that come to mind immediately for me are leadership. You know, every industry at every level needs quality and competent leaders. So any investment you make into your ability to lead better is a very sound investment. Make sure you follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Alan Stein Jr. or keep listening to the rest of this season for more info. In today's episode, we explore Chapter 4 from the player section, which focuses on coachability. It's what you learn after you know it all that counts. John Wooden. Feedback is the sound of the world responding to us. Ignore it at your own risk because it's absolutely instrumental to improvement. If you don't know and aren't willing to discover how you need to get better, you will forever be stuck where you are. An ego might prevent you from wanting to hear it, but those who have a thick skin and an understanding of the big picture crave it. As discussed, self-awareness is the necessary foundation, but true feedback needs to come from an outside source. Those who are willing to heed it are what I call coachable. If you are not coachable, you are closed to development and ultimately success. Winners want to know the area where they are losing and how they are losing so they can win there as well. It's the only way to patch up errors, close those holes, and make yourself a force to be reckoned with. Drop the ego and stay open. You'll be surprised how many things you can do something about and how many things you can influence. How we choose to process feedback determines whether or not we progress or regress. The world's highest performers and achievers make the decision to use all feedback in a manner that moves them forward. We have the choice in how to process feedback. The feedback itself is neither positive nor negative. It's neutral. It's sterile. It's unbiased. It becomes positive or negative only when we choose to attach feelings and emotions to it. It doesn't matter if it's a coach correcting a player's footwork, a manager offering suggestions on a proposal, or an audience rating a speaker. In the world of athletic performance training, I was raised on a philosophy called high-intensity training, an incredibly intense training methodology that calls for you to take every set to the point of MMF, momentary muscular failure. You push the weight until you can't push it anymore. Because of this, I'm conditioned to push for failure every set of every workout. Think about it. If a basketball player does a 30-minute ball handling workout and never loses the ball, then he did not get any better. All he did was replicate what he was already capable of doing. In order to progress, he has to push past his current limits. If you're not losing the ball, then you're not getting any better. Coachable business. Of course, the concepts of coachability go far beyond the gym and the court. As the business advice has it, your worst customer is your best friend. You learn through your failures, through those who reject you, turn you away, and want nothing to do with you. Don't be afraid to hear them out. They will become your greatest teachers. Arthur Blank, co-founder of Home Depot and owner of the Atlanta Falcons, claimed he built his business on finding holes he needed to fill. And he continued that mindset as he worked his way up. When I was running Home Depot, he said, I'd always stop the customers who walked out of our stores with nothing. They were the ones who taught us the most. We know that the ones who best adapt are the ones who survive. High achievers are always going through this process. Learn, unlearn, relearn. Look at Domino's, which owned the pizza delivery market for years. At some point along the way, they got complacent and then sloppy. Once competitors started cutting into their market share, they asked for customer feedback. The overwhelming response? Your pizza sucks. I'm paraphrasing. They took this feedback to heart, even running an advertising campaign admitting to it, and took aggressive steps to make their pizzas healthier and tastier. They called it the pizza turnaround, and their sales have improved dramatically, surpassing their competitors for the first time in years. In Mindset, the New Psychology of Success, psychologist Carol Dweck compares two kinds of people: those with a fixed mindset, who assume they are where they should be, and those with a growth mindset, who are always pushing. She calls this stretching. People in a growth mindset don't just seek challenge, they thrive on it, she wrote. The bigger the challenge, the more they stretch. Her research shows conclusively how those with the growth mindset are more likely to bounce back from challenges, put in that extra effort, and become successful. How we react to our failures is going to be one of the most crucial aspects of our game. We all run into failures. Some are our fault, some are the way of the world. But what separates the successful from the rest is how they use those failures. In fact, those with a growth mindset don't treat them like failures at all. They're just opportunities to learn. This is what distinguishes the truly successful. They don't stop when they reach a level of success. They definitely don't stop when they hit a wall. The wall is actually when they really start pushing. Coachability breaks down into three parts. Part one, trust. Full confidence from coach to player, player to coach, and coach player to team. Part two, openness. The humility, trust, and desire to welcome instruction and guidance. Part three, execution. The ability to precisely carry out a desired course of action. KD and knowing what's good for you. Coachability is understanding the gap between where you are and where you want to be, and committing to doing what it takes to get from one to the other. When I first met Kevin Durant in 2004, he was a skinny high school junior who didn't say much beyond hello, goodbye, and thanks. If you think KD is skinny now, you should have seen him then. He needed a cinder block in his lap just to keep the seat down at the movie theater. Now don't get me wrong, he was unbelievably talented and had a killer work ethic, but he needed to get stronger and add muscle if he wanted to succeed at the next level. So I stepped in. After some hustle and convincing on my part, his wonderful mother, Wanda, finally let me take him through a workout. And I crushed him. I was the hammer and the nails. At the end of a brutal full-body strength workout, Kevin was literally lying in a heap on the floor. Because he was so quiet, it was hard for me to get a read on what he was thinking and feeling about it. When we were done, I walked over to him. "Hey, young buck," I asked. "You like that workout?" He looked me in the eye, dead serious. "No," he said, "but I know this is what I need to do to play in the NBA. When can we meet again?" Even at 15 years old, KD had the maturity to know what he needed to do to get where he wanted to go. He had that special something. When elite guys find something they can't do, they step into it. That's what makes them who they are. I saw an HBO documentary on Durant's offseason, and it was unbelievable how much work he put in during his vacation. Just watching his routine was exhausting. He's working as if he's still trying to get to the NBA, his friend said. It didn't matter that he had just been named the league's MVP. He was still pushing like he was that 15-year-old kid trying to make it. When he came onto my podcast during the offseason, it was the same exact thing. I talked to him at the end of a practice day that had started at 8 a.m. The offseason is the real season, he told me. It's where you get better. Actually, it's not when everyone gets better. Only those who are willing to be coached do. Durant's coachability sets an example for others. He told me he recognizes the influence he has over rookies and bench players and makes a point of getting to practice early to work on his game, knowing that others will follow his lead. If you think you already know enough in your field and don't need to be coached, keep in mind that even Kevin Durant is not at that point. And he never will get to that point. That's just who he is. You think you're better at what you do than Kevin Durant is at what he does? Enough said. When Michael Jordan was first spotted at a summer camp as a teenager, it wasn't his athleticism that impressed the scouts. It was his ability at a young age to take coaching. The best are coachable. Their drive for greatness means they have an insatiable desire to improve. They're never satisfied with where they are, and they refuse to stop learning. Though it would be extremely easy for them to do so, they don't rest on their laurels or accolades. In his book, 11 Rings, The Soul of Success, former Chicago Bulls and Los Angeles Lakers coach Phil Jackson discusses a ritual he would engage in with his players at the start of each training camp. He would line the players up on the baseline and ask them if they are willing to accept his coaching for the upcoming season. Jackson, one of the winningest coaches of all time, understood the necessity of this exchange. Maybe some players thought it was hokey or didn't understand why they had to do it every season, but Jackson knew. He solidified that bond because it laid the groundwork for everything that would come after. The people who have taught me the most in my career are the ones who pointed out what I didn't see. Sheryl Sandberg, Facebook COO. Sniffing around. Are you a curious person? Are you interested in learning more about your business and the world around you? Is one of your engines the desire to know more? If not, I got some bad news for you. At the New York Times, Adam Bryant interviews successful CEOs for a living and studies them across all industries. The common denominator? Passionate curiosity, he wrote. We don't always see that side of them, he explained, because their public faces are those of cool, collected leaders. They have to be. But talk to any of them one-on-one, as he does, and you'll find they are eager students who devour insights and lessons and are genuinely, enthusiastically interested in everything going on around them. When I read this, I flashed back to Mark Cuban. These are people at the top of their game, the absolute pinnacle, but they are still driven to know more. That's how they stay up there. Look at all of the 21st century's big ideas, and you'll find curious people at their core. Airbnb co-founder and CEO Brian Chesky, who turned a lark of an idea about sharing floor space and air mattresses into a $30 billion behemoth, is defined by everyone who knows him as having a near pathological curiosity and an obsession with constantly absorbing new information. And here's the key. He's still like that. Sarah Blakely, billionaire founder of Spanx, is the same way. When I see a problem, she told an interviewer, I just start asking questions. I'm looking for a gap. CEOs who have gone through the fire and come out the other end are looking for those who remind them of themselves. They value the risk takers, the ones who are brave enough to try and humble enough to learn, to fail, and to try again. The take no prisoners jerk who acts like he knows everything? Nobody wants that guy. There's nothing to teach him and nothing he can offer. The ones who are open, willing to listen and be coached? Every team could use more of those. Make yourself invaluable. Become a sponge. Be willing to listen and learn. Stay coachable. When the San Antonio Spurs season ends each year, Greg Popovich takes each player aside, individually, and thanks them for allowing him to coach them. It's a powerful message, not just because of the gesture of gratitude, but because it reminds the players that it's a two-way relationship. No one can coach you without your consent. Make sure you are open to it. Bring on the fail. Every single ladder to success has rungs of failure on it. They are not pit stops or anomalies. They are a key part of the journey. We don't know how to do anything until we screw up at it enough times. Never flinch at failure, legendary UCLA coach John Wooden wrote. I was taught not to fear making a mistake if it was the right kind of mistake. My college coach at Purdue told us the team that makes the most mistakes usually wins. Once we get past the ego aspect of the equation, we realize how valuable failure is. We learn far more from it than we do from success. It's an idea that has spread to the business world as well. Sarah Blakely makes a point of celebrating oops moments around the Spanx office so employees can see how the mistakes can become teaching moments. She credits her father for this philosophy and approach. At the dinner table when she was growing up, he would ask what she and her brother had failed at that week. She internalized the idea and continues to ensure that failures are treated as the lessons they are. The lessons of the untalented. PJ Carlissimo is a coaching legend at all levels, at Seton Hall, in the NBA, for four teams, including two Spurs championship teams, and most impressively, for the 1992 Dream Team, who won Olympic gold in Barcelona, the most talented team ever assembled. However, when I interviewed him for my podcast, he surprised me by not discussing the elite players he worked with. You learn a lot more when you have a team that's not very talented, he told me. You learn a lot more when you lose, particularly early in your career, which is something that I went through. It's a great teacher. Carlissimo understood that failure is really just the word we give to all of those previous reps that got us to where we are now. Some academics have begun putting a notable failures section on their resumes. I'm a fan of this trend. It opens up the idea that we are not all progressing in a straight line. Scrubbing our career trajectories of our setbacks doesn't serve anything but our egos. Let's make a point to dig in on them, not to dwell, but to explore. An overpowering fear of failure may be a generational issue as well. According to a recent study, 40% of millennials carry a fear of failure, more than any other age group. If I had to guess, I imagine that growing up in a social media culture, a world where every little thing is shared, has created this side effect. No one wants to mess up because it's so public and embarrassing. But failure is a built-in motivation and teaching system, if you're smart enough to embrace it. Failure is so valuable, says researcher James Prochaska, because it forces us to learn, even when we don't want to. Sometimes life hits you in the head with a brick. Steve Jobs. How strong is your bounce back? The reason I'm so passionate about embracing failure is that I used to shy away from it. In fact, it wasn't until I was in my early 30s that I changed my mindset to accept my mistakes as valuable as a necessary part of the process. No one gets it right every time. So the question isn't whether or not you will fail, as everyone inevitably does. It's how you respond. How you deal with failure determines your ultimate happiness and success. Let's call it your bounce back. Apple's Steve Jobs will forever be hailed as a visionary genius, but the story about him that gets told most often is how he was fired from the company he built, only to return and save it 12 years later, turning it into one of the most successful and important brands on the planet. To his credit, Jobs didn't bury that part of his biography. He often retold the story himself because he understood it was the foundation of his future success. Failure only becomes positive or negative based on how you frame it and how you personalize it. The exact same failure can inspire you, motivate you, and teach you, or it can crush you, debilitate you, and paralyze you. It's a matter of choice. Failure is about walking headfirst into no, into adversity, into discomfort. We must condition ourselves to embrace it and thrive from it. I'm grateful to have gotten a lot of yeses in my life, and almost all of them have come after countless no's. As a professional speaker, I hear no on a daily basis. I think of it as just part of my workday. But I have always felt that every no gets me closer to a yes. If you are constantly getting yeses, then you aren't pushing hard enough. If you didn't lose the ball, then you haven't learned anything. It's up to you how you choose to feel about and perceive your misses. It goes back to the growth mindset, Those who see failures as walls will do nothing to get past them. Those who see them as doors will do the work to get them open. Be ready to receive. An important part of being coachable is being open to lessons from anywhere and anyone. Former Ultimate Fighting Champion Frank Shamrock was once pound for pound the deadliest man in the world. He is an extremely fit, handsome man with a powerful presence and energy. Though Frank speaks with authority, he's actually quite reserved, the perfect mix of confidence and humility. He knows he could beat any human to death in 6 seconds, but he carries himself in a way that neither celebrates nor hides this fact. I got to spend quality time with Frank at a retreat recently. When I spoke with him, he was open about all the mistakes he'd made in his personal life and how hard he has worked to correct them and move forward. The first 21 years of Frank's life were brutal. He suffered abuse as a child, and he was in and out of the foster care system and then jail. After making the choice to turn his life around, he began his fighting career, which he approached differently than he had anything in his life up to that point. Frank took a very scientific and cerebral approach, which was unheard of at the time. He studied his opponent's weaknesses, leverages, and fighting styles, developing a clear advantage as soon as he entered the octagon, the UFC ring. He constantly evolved as a fighter, never wanting to become predictable. Everything works, but nothing works forever, he told me. Frank lives by a system he calls the plus equal minus system. Plus, he finds someone ahead of him and learns from them. Equal, he finds someone equal to him and exchanges with them. Minus, he finds someone he is ahead of and shares with them. I love this system for many reasons, but one is that it recognizes that ideas, help, and motivation can come from anyone and anywhere. Frank doesn't see some people as worth the time and some not. Everyone has value. Lessons are all around us. You need to carry a readiness to receive instruction and be open about where you get ideas. On Amazon.com, the idea of other web pages, even homemade ones, having an Amazon button, it came from a customer. Bezos has built Amazon into a Goliath, partly because of a willingness to jump on new ideas that come from any source. It takes humility and openness to accept ideas from anywhere and everywhere. New results require new behaviors. If nothing changes, nothing changes. In the early 1980s, the rock band Metallica was on the verge of becoming huge when they kicked out their first guitarist. They held auditions and hired an unknown kid, Kirk Hammett, to become their new guitarist. The first thing Hammett did after getting the job of the lead guitarist for what was about to be the biggest band in the world, he hired a guitar teacher. Times of transition. Growth, development, and improvement must be a continuous process. How long is it acceptable to be in the third grade? 1 year. At that point, you're not only expected to move on, you are forced to. Why don't employees feel compelled to do the same? Many employees stay at the same level year after year. Growth comes only from transition. Your happiness, performance, and success are predicated on your ability to manage these transitions. Sometimes we initiate change and sometimes it's forced upon us. Either way, we must adapt. You must expect transition. Always be ready for it because it won't always announce itself and you may not have the time to get ready. Life is filled with transitions. Our ability to anticipate them before they arrive and embrace them when they do is what allows us to get a leg up and rise to the next level. Along the way, you'll be amazed what you can accomplish as long as you remain coachable. Key point. It's a journey, not a destination. The successful ones never stop growing. Accept that you have more to learn and be willing to get it from anywhere and anyone. Remember, you control your knowledge advantage. Never quickly judge who or what is worth paying attention to. Be open. Great ideas are in the air all around us. Train your eyes to recognize them. Embrace failure for the teaching tool that it is. Feedback is the sound of the world responding to us.
Well, that's it for me. I hope you enjoyed this episode.
Please make sure to join my conversations at Alan Stein Jr. on all major social platforms and go to allensteinjr.com to subscribe to my full timeout, 30-second timeout, and overtime monthly emails. I look forward to helping you raise your game.